going to talk about IS 37.
Yes, so this is Agenda Paper 22, and the purpose of the session is to consider stakeholder feedback on the scope of a possible project to amend aspects of IS 37. We discussed this project scope with various stakeholder groups over the past couple of months, and we just wanted to share the feedback that we took away from the meetings and what we plan to do with it, and also hear from you if you heard anything in the, from the stakeholders else that you would like us to consider further as we develop recommendations on the project scope. So Agenda Paper 2 summarises the messages that the staff took from the stakeholder feedback. I think a couple of messages in particular. There is general support for a project focusing on three targeted improvements, as described in paragraph 7 of the paper. And there were a couple of suggestions for doing more that recurred through the meetings. They're explained in paragraphs 14 and 15. The first was that some respondents, stakeholder participants, think that the board would struggle to clarify aspects of the measurement requirements without first clarifying the measurement objective. And then also another recurring suggestion was that if the board clarifies for onerous contracts which costs to include in an onerous contract provision, it should also consider clarifying which economic benefits. So do you have any comments?
Mary.
Joan, thanks for this paper. I think, first, I agree with your recommendation that we have done enough outreach to be able to make a decision about the scope of the project. So I think I don't have anything further to say. Could you please go find out about X before coming back to us? In terms of your recommendations about what to pursue and what not to pursue, I have one thing that I disagree with, and I think it's something I suggest moving out of the scope rather than into the scope, and that is aligning the addressing the measurement point to kind of extend the ED that we currently have in process, because I agree with the comments that it's difficult to give guidance. It's possible to give guidance on what to do if you're doing costs. I think the question of not having a clear measurement objective and there being perhaps different ways of approaching that, whether or not, for example, there may be or must be a risk premium, whether it's more the transfer perspective or the entity's cost. I think to try and address the if you're doing cost without addressing the measurement is it's ignoring the bigger question, and I think we shouldn't mess with it. And so I would not do the bigger question as part of this project, while aligning IS 37, in particular the IFRIC 21 issue with the conceptual framework, is more than a narrow scope amendment, so I don't think I can characterize it that way. I think unless we keep this very tight, it's going to sprawl and become a bigger project than we have intended. And it's for that reason that I also think that trying to give guidance on third-party costs is something we should not touch, because to me it would be very quickly become very difficult to distinguish guidance on that matter from what is the threshold for recognition for litigation. Because in the example you give about legal costs to defend, is it the occurrence of the past event that is the basis for the claim? Is it the assertion of the claim? Is it the assertion plus your conclusion that you don't have a liability and therefore you're going to defend against the claim? And if these are all relevant for the determination of whether you have the expenditure, whether you're accruing the expenditure, I think you end up reopening what's the threshold for litigation, and that's not part of what you intend to do, and maybe pretty explicitly don't want to do. So I think we should move on to addressing what's in the scope. My preference would be to do
only the align, the addressing the IFRIC 21 issue and the discount rates, and those are the reasons why I would not do the two pieces about cost that you had recommended. Otherwise, I agree with the your assessment of the other things that people had raised as possible add-ons and your explanation of why not to do them. As we start to collect our thoughts about agenda consultation, I could see it would be helpful to write up what the interaction of these is and in that process collect input about where people put the priority. But I wouldn't try to jam it into this, and I think we should not hold those two pieces for a broader consultation.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Just a clarification. Paragraph 16, you are suggesting two additional investigation, right? Based on your paper that was presented for the ASA, there are more issues you have discussed about. So what about this kind of a risk adjustment issue, some kind of recognition for, you know, the balance of the contingent assets and contingent liabilities.
Yeah.
All these kind of issues you have discussed with at the ASA. So what is your conclusion is not to include that such kind of
We sort of went into the meetings thinking that these would be things that we wouldn't put in the scope, not because they hadn't been identified as problems, but because they hadn't been identified as big enough problems to merit reopening the standard. And I think what we did in as a result of the meetings was say, well, because of the comments that we got on the two topics in 14 and 15, we probably need to think a little bit further about whether we need to consider these two other topics. It doesn't mean that we're going to change our recommendation. It's just to say we possibly need to think through the feedback we got, for example, on whether we address the meaning of economic benefits. When I listened to some of the stakeholders and what they were suggesting they thought needed to be clarified, I wasn't sure that if we did clarify it, we would be getting to the answer that they wanted, because they were really thinking about things, benefits that aren't in a contract, and I'm somehow wanting these to be considered. So I'm not sure they would change the recommendation. It was just the feedback caused me to think I ought to consider this a bit further. On none of the other topics did I get the impression that there was significant demand to look, investigate any of them and include them in the scope of the project.
Nick?
Thank you. Just looking at the 2016 agenda consultation, provisions wasn't an area particularly highlighted by investors as a high priority. Having said that, clearly at the last CMAC meeting, a number of users were very exercised by the treatment of levies and had very robust views about that. And so I think that is an area which is worth exploring further. There was also some interest, to a lesser extent, in the treatment of credit risk and discount rates. So I think as long as we are doing things which are focused and in those areas addressing those needs, I think, yes, scope to go ahead here.
Just as a sort of follow-up on the agenda consultation, I think one of the reasons that there was some people were wary about a project on IS37 is they thought that if there was a project, it would address some of the other matters that we aren't now proposing to address and that they wouldn't want to address. Mm-hmm. Whereas for the more targeted things that we are considering, there was a reasonable amount of support within the agenda consultation.
Ms. Rising.
Just to express support for what you propose. In other words, the elements of scope that you have in paragraph 7, and I also support what you suggest in paragraph 16, largely out of what we've heard in the outreach and also what we had in the comment letters on onerous contracts. And what I read from your or I thought I read from your paper, is that you want to look into the feasibility. So, into the feasibility.
Yes.
In other words, if that would drag us into a much larger project, you would probably recommend that we stop.
Yes.
If you could see that it's feasible within the remit of the project, remaining a reasonable project, you would go on. And I would support that you make those efforts and that you succeed.
Thank you. I think we should limit the scope of this review because once we try to make a fundamental review, then we need to touch upon the recognition criteria. And in a sense, we agreed it wouldn't be successful. So therefore, as long as we are not going to do the to touch upon the recognition criteria, we should make it very much a narrow scope. And of course, because we have changed the conceptual framework, I think editorial basis, we have to revise paragraph 10 of I-37 to make it consistent with conceptual framework. However, it doesn't mean we have to go into the detail of fundamental review of I-37. And one thing is just Changu touched upon the paragraph 16. You pointed out two, paragraph 16A and B. And 16A is somehow we may study, we have to study, but paragraph 16B totally depends upon the next agenda paper. And then if the discussion in that agenda paper requires us a little more fundamental review of IS-37. Of course, we need to address it. But of course, I think there might be some other way to get rid of the issue which was pointed out in the agenda paper 12. So that would be discussed in the incoming agenda.
Yeah, it will be. In raising 16A and B, it was really just to say that I will look at them further rather than necessarily change the recommendation.
I understood.
Chen Chao.
I think yes. I suppose staff's proposal, particularly I suppose staff tried to align IS-37 liability definition to the framework, and also to try to resolve the inconsistent problem issues arising from IFRIC 21. One thing I'm thinking about that the definition of the liability in the conceptual framework actually has some connection with the recognition criteria and also with the measurement part. So I also agree with that we should explore further about the measurement objective to keep measurement parts consistent with the between IS-37 to conceptual framework. In meantime, I'm thinking about without we align with the definition of liability between IS-37 and conceptual framework, but without changing the recognition criteria in IS-37, I'm not sure whether we can achieve the objective because recognition criteria actually in IS-37 a little bit different from the conceptual framework. So only change the definition of the liability without rethinking about the recognition criteria in the IS-37. How can make those two parts consistent with each other? This is one thing I'm worried about that. So I think it's better to explore further in this regard.
Okay, we did look when we were developing the conceptual framework at the IS-37 recognition criteria and whether they would be consistent with the framework. And, of course, the framework now says that you decide on a standard-by-standard basis, on the basis of what will provide the most useful information, whether recognition provides useful information. So what I'll do is I'll update that analysis to look and see how IAS 37 works with the conceptual framework. I think it's okay, but I will update it and, as part of the papers for the decision meeting. Thank you.
Okay. Any further questions?
Two things. One is, I think the discount rate should be broader than just credit risk.
Okay.
I mean, you can get from a negative discount rate to a positive discount rate, depending what you put in. And there's liquidity, there's risk specific to the asset. You know, there's a number of things you can throw in there. And credit risk alone, I don't think adequately addresses something of this magnitude. And I guess the other one, again, I think what Jin Chao was saying, a bit worried about if we grab the conceptual framework, which does not use probable, how do we sort of, because there's a lot of people who don't want probable removed, so do we half bring in the conceptual framework, or anyway, I'm just not sure how we'll do that.
I'll cover that in the papers. I think, as I was saying, the conceptual framework allows the recognition criteria on a standard-by-standard basis, and it does allow for the possibility that for low probability items, they might not satisfy. You could put in probability thresholds for recognition if that is what provides the most useful information. And we did do a paper on that a few years ago, which I will update for when we make the decision. But I think that the recognition criteria in IAS 37 at the moment are consistent with the conceptual framework. The conceptual framework doesn't say you must recognize all assets and liabilities. It says you recognize them if it provides useful information, and you make an assessment of what would provide useful information.
But.
Okay.
I second Tom's comments about the discount rate, not just looking at own credit. There seems to be a misunderstanding in the markets about what a current discount rate is,
yes,
including discount rates from a year back.
Yeah.
Tuck?
Yeah. With respect to the Tom's question, of course I have similar question. However, I understand in this way. Correct me if I'm wrong. In paragraph 10, we used all the conceptual frameworks, the literature as it is. So therefore, if we revise it to the new conceptual framework, then it looks like it may change other paragraphs of IS 37. However, somehow paragraph 10 and the other paragraph is somehow disconnected. I mean, disconnected, which we mean is the paragraph 14 is the recognition criteria. And the recognition criteria, it includes probability threshold. But coming back to the conceptual framework, paragraph 14 is only adding some element to the conceptual framework rather than conflicting. Whereas we have paragraph 19, which is talking about levy issue, so which is somehow conflicting with the conceptual framework about the definition of present obligation. Mm-hmm. So therefore, we change the conceptual framework, and there is a conflicting paragraph. Then we have to address. So then we have to change paragraph 19, and also we have to maybe remove IFRIC 21. That's necessary. But with respect to recognition criteria, it is just an additional element which was down to the standard level. So we don't really have to change it. That is my interpretation.
Yes, I would agree with that. Basically, what IAS 37 is saying is that you've got to satisfy several criteria to recognize a liability. One is that there must be a liability. There must be a present obligation. The others are various other tests. the bit that we would be aligning with the conceptual framework is only that first criterion, which is there must be a present obligation. Then there's paragraphs saying what it means by present obligation, and we would be substituting what's in the conceptual framework for what's presently in IS 37. It doesn't mean you need to touch the probable outflows or reliably measurable bits of it at all.
Mary?
Two comments prompted by Tom's intervention. I'm afraid I'm kind of in a different position. One is my assumption about this project is that it is kind of doing the least minimum necessary. It may not qualify as a narrow scope amendment, but it's pretty close to that. And at least that's what I was thinking as I looked at that. And when I looked through that lens, I think what you were just saying about the what does it mean align with the new conceptual framework, I think it is the specific issue that you pointed to, where right now IS 37 is written in a way that is implicitly, you don't have an obligation from a past event until you have the last bit that confirms it. And we're saying we're going to move that back if you have the circumstances described in the conceptual framework of receiving the benefit on a progressive basis, as one of the examples. So we're not looking at full alignment of the whole of the standard with everything in the conceptual framework. We're looking at that one point, and that's what I mean by necessary.
Yep.
And then the second, so that's another reason why we wouldn't have to look at the probable threshold, because we're only trying to do surgical approach. And then the risk of having a bad board week, I'm about to disagree with the chairman about the discount rate. I think, again, in terms of when we do the necessary point, this issue about whether the discount rate is with or without is a practice issue that I think has been raised formally with the Interpretation Committee, although I'm not sure about that, you know, somewhere back in time. It's a known practice issue. This isn't, I think, the time or the platform to do a whole, here's how you do discount rates. We did the discount rate project. There is a specific application question, so I would tend to keep this one narrow, unless as you look back on questions that have been raised, there are other aspects, but let's just try and do the necessary rather than the nice.
Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you consider that aiming at eliminating divergence in practice, identify divergence in practice would be necessary in the scope? And I thought that clarifying the measurement objective using the fulfillment value would help in reducing divergence in practice. So that's the reason why I support, looking into whether it's feasible without entering into mm-hmm. other than a minimum project. But I think it's a lost opportunity if we have identified that we have the possibility of reducing divergence in practice and we opening the standard and not doing it.
Yeah, I agree with you that it would go further in terms of eliminating divergence from practice, but I have a feeling if the cost cost is the wrong word, but if the effort involved in the IFRIC 21 aspect is 50, the effort involved in distilling and getting stakeholder agreement on the measurement objective and resolving all that will be 250. I think it's but that maybe is what the staff needs to think about.
Yeah.
So my reluctance to do it is I think it would make it a much bigger, longer, more difficult project rather than it's not needed or it's a bad thing to do. So mine is effort-based rather than disagreement that it's needed.
But I didn't think that was what Hans was suggesting.
On the discount. I was talking. Francois's comment was about objective generally.
Yeah, but I think that, if I understood correctly, the point that Hans was raising, it's reminding people that the word current means current, which doesn't sound like a big scope creep.
But that doesn't sound like standard setting is needed as much as maybe its application.
Either way, I think it would be something that I need to look into.
But I don't think we're talking a big project.
I want a project with an effort of 50, not a project with an effort of 500.
It might be 50.5.
Yeah.
Because that was a very specific point. Rather than opening up discounting generally, there's a specific point there. I think.
And with big consequences.
Yes.
I mean, we're talking about, you know, especially the discounting of decommissioning liabilities can be huge numbers. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Thank you, Joan.
Thank you.
Onerous contracts.
Just like the signature.
Craig.